Welcome to the Student Association of the American College of Osteopathic Family Physicians webinar titled Comlec Success. During the presentation, all lines will be in a listen-only mode. If you have any questions at any time, you may answer it in the chat box. Your questions will be answered at the end of the presentation. Please note that the session, along with the Q&A session, will be recorded Wednesday, January 25th, 2017. Your student panelists this evening are Carl Aguirre, Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine Candidate, Class of 2018 at CUSOM, Garrett Harrison, Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine Candidate, Class of 2017, ACOM, Alyssa Estes, Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine Candidate, Class of 2018, TuroCom. Your moderator is Terry Parsons, National ACOSP, Student President, Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine Candidate, Class of 2017, at Nova Southern Eastern University, COM. Thank you for joining us today. Please welcome Terry.
Oh, thank you so much for that. All right, welcome everyone. We are so pleased that you can join us for this much anticipated webinar. We have a great set of panelists for you tonight, so I'm sure that everybody's going to be taking away wonderful things that they can use. And I know we've introduced them all, but I do want to say that, you know, out of all the applicants that we have from all over the country, we really tried to pick some good ones for you here. They all scored in the top 10th percentile, of course, on the Comlec Level 1. But just something to keep in mind as they all go over their own parts is they've all also taken the USMLE as well. That's not our focus tonight, but, you know, if there are some questions later about that, they all have done that. And additionally, Garrett Harrison from Alabama College of Osteopathic Medicine has also taken Level 2 and Step 2 as well. So, you know, they will be speaking from that broader perspective. So without any further ado, I'd like to go ahead and get started for this evening. A couple little remarks here. Definitely start typing in your questions as they come up throughout the presentation. So you can see the little question box, so just type those in, and then we'll save all questions for the end, and hopefully we can get as many of those answered as possible. So I'd like to go ahead and introduce our first presenter for the evening. It is Carla Guerra, and like I said, she's from Campbell University in Millington, North Carolina. She's class of 2018. Carla, if you could go ahead and take it from here.
Thank you so much, Terry. Guys, I'm so excited to be with you today. First of all, when it comes to success on the Comlec, I'm the first to tell you that I never in a million years thought that I could be a top scorer. So I really want to reach out and speak to everybody out there who's really just nervous and, you know, has butterflies in their stomachs about the best way that they can approach this exam. Coming from me, I didn't think that I could do as well as I did. And so I started so early, and I really wanted to share some of the just kind of the tips that I thought really helped me get into a place where I was really happy. Now I'm just making sure that I'm doing this right. There you go. So that's me. Hello. That's my school. I go to Campbell University. So I'm just going to start off with this first slide, the basics of success. So really the key to all of this is starting early and repetition. So I don't care if you're a first year, a second year. For the most part at our school, they had us start board prepping kind of in the summer between our first and second year. So that was kind of our first exposure. The earlier you start, the better. And that kind of goes off to the next point of repetition. Repetition is really the key to success. And so whenever you pick your sources, you really want to try and see those sources as many times as possible. So by starting early, you really get a heads up in terms of familiarizing yourself with all of the sources that you're going to be using. My next point goes to using few sources, specifically because I've met a lot of my classmates who really felt that they wanted to, you know, they did a little too much of everything, and they never became masters of the sources that they did have. So I would definitely suggest picking a few sources, repeating them many times, and starting early. Now, of all of the sources that you should be really focusing on, questions should be your number one. If there's nothing else that you do, questions is what you do. That should be your number one priority above reading, above flashcards, above everything else. Picking question banks that work for you and picking ones that are really going to prepare you for these exams. And I'll get into that in just a little bit. My next point, being good at school, one of the best ways to really prepare for boards is during your time in school, really learning the material that you're learning in class while you're starting cardio, while you're starting respiratory, while you're studying every topic. Really try to be the best at that topic as you possibly can be. And if there are portions in that curriculum that you struggle with, being mindful of that early on so that when you get back to studying it for boards, you're already aware of that kind of that rough part, and just having something just set up for that. That goes along with being organized, having a set schedule of how you study. A really great resource that I found was CramFighter. CramFighter has a bunch of sources already built into it, like first aid, Kaplan, whatever it is that you like, books, and a lot of the question banks and a lot of, like, sketchy micro for videos. It has all of that built into it, so they can go ahead and make a schedule for you that allows you to finish by certain deadlines. And my last point here is being honest with yourself. And with that, I mean, whatever you're not good at, be honest with yourself that you're not good at that and really tackle that 100%. I like to divide everything in school and kind of to three topics, one that I felt comfortable and good at, one that I felt mediocre at, and one that I felt really kind of sucky at. The one that I felt sucky at, that's where I started, that's what I focused on, and I worked my way up because in those areas is where you're going to make the most amount of improvement. If you always focus on things that you're good at, then you're only ever going to stay good at those things. So moving on to some sources that I think were really important, as you can see, going back to my last point where I said picking few sources, I picked very few sources for my studying. I picked these four, CommBank, UWorld, PATHOMA, and First Aid. CommBank is pretty much the one question bank I think that a lot of people use in preparation for the level one osteopathic test specifically. The questions on it are the most similar to what you're going to see on your actual test. It incorporates a lot of the osteopathic principles. Guys, OMM, OMT, whatever you call it in your school, I mean, that is 30% of your COMLEX. Don't forget about it. And you really need to focus on doing questions that incorporate those principles into it. That's kind of where UWorld lacks, but UWorld is a great source in terms of preparing in the learning sense. UWorld questions are pretty difficult, but in terms of learning, they're fantastic. PATHOMA, obviously, this is going to be where you're going to learn a lot of your pathophysiology. And then First Aid, which is basically the Bible of your first and second year of medical school, this is going to have everything. I can pretty much say that everything that was on my COMLEX and my USMLE was in USM, it was in First Aid and was in PATHOMA. Probably 99% of everything, obviously with the exception of the osteopathic principles, in terms of anatomy and physiology, everything was were in these books. So that's why I really chose to focus on those. So basic goals, I just kind of have one statement here. Your basic goal should be high numbers of repetition of a few sources that you find to be most beneficial. These are the sources that I found to be most beneficial for me. You might find some that are more beneficial for you, but the key is to repeat these sources as many times as possible. I kind of made a little timeline here where I divided up before dedicated board prep and after dedicated board prep. Before dedicated board prep, this includes your MS1 and MS2 years. You should really be attempting to read First Aid, give it about two passes, PATHOMA about two passes, CommBank and UWorld one pass each. First Aid, you should be reading it along with each of your specific blocks, so cardio blocks, and you read cardio so-and-so. And then your questions should follow in the same way. All of your CommBank and UWorld questions for cardio should be done during those blocks. Same with PATHOMA. And in my particular school, we're given one week off between our blocks. And so I would use those weeks to go back over the PATHOMA and the First Aid that I kind of missed. So you have 2 years essentially to get that done somehow, some way or somehow. You should already annotate it, look at areas that you're not great at, and you should have that in mind as you're going into your dedicated board prep. So the dedicated board prep, as you notice, is basically the exact same thing that you did in your first and second year. You're just doing that in a shorter amount of time in a more dedicated time. So in total, you should be thinking of doing two passes through each of your question banks and, four passes essentially of the book sources that you're using. Now I know that sounds like a lot, but going back to the concept of organization and keeping a schedule, that's what it's all about. And I promise with just, you know, staying focused, having your schedule and sticking to your schedule, this is something that's very, very doable. And the last slide of my presentation is really just giving you what my schedule looks like during dedicated board time. Now, you might look at this and say, oh, my gosh, what are all these numbers? So what I did is I made my life a little bit easier by essentially dividing up my first aid and my PSOMA books into sections. So section one was biochemistry, and section two was molecular biology and different chapters of PSOMA. Three was pharmacology, immunology. Four was microbiology. Five was cardiology, everything that was first aid PSOMA. Six, renal and respiratory. Seven, gastrointestinal. Eight, reproductive endocrine. Nine, musculoskeletal. 10, neuropsych. So you get the point. I divided it up essentially into one binder, and I would make it my goal for that day to go through that. I would also make it a goal to go through, you know, 50 questions that day and review them. At this point, I had already gone through my question bank one time, so this is my second pass. So going through it, notice that there's different days in here that I did take off. My sister got married. My husband had his graduation. There's two other points that I want to make about this because I think my time is running up soon. You'll see that I have NBME exams put in. This was for the USMLE. The NBMEs are incredibly accurate at predicting what your USMLE score will be. So use them wisely and use them seriously, because my NBME, the last one I took, was literally 1 point away from what my actual USMLE score was. So these are great tools to use. And my last point for this is notice that kind of in my week two, week four, I have blocks of schedule or schedule time to do essentially 8 blocks of 44 questions. Now, this is exactly what the test is like. Make sure you take time to actually go through the number of questions that you're going to be doing on your exam. It's a marathon, guys, and you can't expect to run a marathon if you haven't even run a 5K. So going through that to really practice what it's like to sit down and do that. So this is just kind of an example of what my days looked like, really focusing on questions, focusing on the two topics that I picked or the two books that I picked, and then just taking my exams as they came. And with that being said, I will go ahead and pass the baton on to our next presenter, Garrett Harrison.
Thank you, Carla. Good evening, everyone. My name is Garrett Harrison. I would just like to introduce myself, tell you a little bit about myself here. I am going to the Alabama College of Osteopathic Medicine. We went through, as you can see, went through the military match there, matched OB-GYN at NMC Portsmouth. So, like they said before, I had taken the Step 2 and Level 2 of Comlex. So what we'll talk about here, just to give you an overview, I'm going to talk about research and discovery of programs that you're interested in and setting your goals of what you want to do for Comlex. We'll look at some resources, and Carl had some really good points about everything with regards to repetition and this resource to use and all that stuff. And we'll also talk about picking a date, scheduling to start early, which is a big thing. It has a lot to do with repetition as well, like she was saying, and just some test-taking strategies, and from there we'll do a little something. So when I say research and discovery and your goals, you know, you want to look at, you know, what the specialty is that you think you want to do. Not everybody at this point in time really knows, you know, in your first and second year. You may have some ideas. Mostly everybody here being in the family medicine student organization, you may have that kind of lean right now, but it can all change. So get an idea, look into some programs, and, you know, decide, you know, there's some dream programs that I would like to maybe apply to, maybe there's some more achievable programs, and then have some backup plan programs where you think, you know, if you decide that those other two don't work out, or however many don't work out, that you actually have something to lean back on. And you need to look at these programs early and decide, you know, whether or not they'll take COMLEX, or if they require the USMLE, especially if they're the more traditional ACGME allopathic accredited programs. And someone had asked earlier about taking the USMLE. Taking the USMLE, I think, from my perspective, it just opens up your your opportunities, where you're going to apply. It gives you more geographical freedom and where you want to go and everything like that. And again, with the perspective going into it, have an open mind going into your third-year clinical clerkships. And your specialty goals, they may change. So you want to start off with a good, strong, COMLEX score. So talking about goals, you know, you want to set an attainable goal. You know, if you look at some programs that you're interested in, your dream program, it's not just an arbitrary number anymore. It correlates with what your dream specialty or what your dream program would be, or their average or maybe the highest score or whatnot. But it's a number that you would be proud of, a number that you would not be too upset if you fell a little short of. Or if you did fall short just a little bit, it does not eliminate you from the dream program that you want to get moved to. And you want to write down that goal, your number, and put it somewhere you can see it every day while you're studying or while you're going through first and second year curriculum. So talking about some resources, Carla, again, she was very thorough with all those. These are just some resources that I was using mostly. First aid. There's the Goalian audio files. Those are out there. Several people have them. They're kind of like the low-key audio tapes. And Goalian's rapid review pathology goes along with that really well. Pathoma as well is a resource that I use too to supplement with that book. And physiology. And BRS Physiology by Cassandra, the same author, which is very helpful for getting physiology concepts down. If first aid doesn't really provide too thorough of an explanation for some of those concepts. And again, question banks. I would recommend getting through at least 4,000 questions. I think I probably got about 6,000 or 7,000 questions done. And that includes getting through both UWorld and Kaplan and CommBank multiple times. So they don't need to necessarily be original questions, but getting through those question banks multiple times, at least twice. I think Carl had a really good presentation within the first 2 years, getting through at least like one pass. It's a great approach. So scheduling an early start, you know, you want to pick a date, stick to it. You want to start studying now. And I have in here time expansion. It's kind of like a weird concept, but something I can explain. One day of your dedicated studying time equals 1 week of your starting time now. So you want to decide before you go into starting to study, you want to know what your end game is and what your schedule is going to be for those last few days of dedicated study time. So say, for example, I had 40 days to study. So I started out about maybe 40 weeks or so ahead of that designated study time. So you have 20 days to study before the test. From now until the test, take that material that you'd want to cover in one day leading up to the test and try to spread it out over a week in the first 2 years or the last semester or which is right now of your second year. It helps you to kind of spread yourself, give yourself some time to also get the coursework done that you're involved in at the time, and it also gives you, you know, the opportunity not to spread yourself too thin during those last few months of second year. So let me just talk about some test-taking strategies just real quickly here. And sometimes, you know, this may seem kind of redundant, it may seem kind of common sense, but it really helps to make sure you, first of all, read the question. And reading that leading question, reading the leading question first actually helps a lot because some of the questions on CommLEX specifically can be answered without having to read the entire huge block of text that looks like it's very intimidating, and this can save you some time so you can get through the test effectively, efficiently. And again, just ensure that you have read the entire question. If it's the lead-in is maybe a little bit more more detailed or requires some more information than what you can just answer on your own, you make sure you go back and read the question thoroughly. Make sure you get everything in there. And again, do practice questions as many as you can do. I like to do them in time mode. Once I got through a couple of those question banks, I did go back and kind of just go through tutor mode. But really, you want to try to emulate the test as much as possible. So doing it in time mode is a very, very great idea and kind of gets the stress out of the way of the actual test being timed. Eventually, you'll be so used to it that, you know, the timing won't really bother you as much and you won't find yourself, you know, getting close on some passages. And then there's the Pelly method, and you can look this up on your own. But it's a way that I feel like by the time I was really ready to take the COMREX in the USMLE, I was kind of already thinking this way. Our school kind of gave us a little lecture, had a guest presentation come in and give this. But what the method is just going through each question and looking at the answer choices and trying to eliminate the wrong answer choices and giving reasons as to why they're the wrong answer choices if you can. And that's kind of a really good thing for you to do, especially if you're writing down notes and things like that, like during the test, because some of the material from those questions may be relevant to another question later on, and you've already done the work by, you know, answering those questions and giving yourself that kind of leg up and material to look at later on, and you don't have to redo it again. So in summary, we talked about the research, discovery, and goals, and resources, which, again, Carla and Alyssa will cover here as well again. Picking that date, really sticking to it. Don't bluff yourself. Be confident and start early. And I think if you all put in the work and everything, it'll go swell. And just to quote, one important key to success is self-confidence. The important key to self-confidence is preparation. I think if everyone prepares for this test, it's something that shouldn't be anyone's problem. And with that, I'll turn it over to Alyssa.
Hi, guys. I'm really excited to be here to speak with you today. I'm from Torocom in New York. And I just want to say that, for any of you out there who had a really difficult time with the MCAT, this test is completely different. And just, you know, I don't know what scores you all got, obviously, but, don't let that get you down. If you have the discipline and the determination and take the time, because really this test is a lot about time. As I believe Carla said before, it's really like training for a marathon. You have to really, build up to it. You can do this. So I also kind of outlined the resources I use. First aid, as mentioned before, but Savarese. If you don't have Savarese yet, you must get it. It is an amazing resource for OMM. And as mentioned before, there's a lot of OMM on the COMREX, but what I think you should know is that a lot of times, little things in OMM can be such a huge benefit to you if you understand them on a test. Like questions that otherwise would be challenging that if you thought enough, you might be able to solve without the OMM knowledge. If you know that tiny little piece of OMM can make the question so much easier. So taking the time to read it, and it's an easy read, it's a fast read, but it's really important. And QBanks, I used UWorld as well, and CommBank, and I used Kaplan QBank. These three were the best for me. Kaplan I purchased during my 2 month study period, because I already made through CommBank and I wanted some more questions. To me, Kaplan, it was very great for certain things. Like Kaplan is very strong in physiology. So if you have a difficult time with physiology, and biochemistry, Kaplan is a great resource to use, as opposed to UWorld and CommBank, which are kind of more all encompassing. I used PASELMA, but I did not read the PASELMA book. I really used the video lectures. And I used that more after a long day where I was studying sometimes and I just needed to review something more. But I was kind of burnt out with questions and really intense studying. Sometimes just putting on a lecture, his lectures can be 10 minutes. It's just a way to kind of finish out the night with something to help you out. And I also use Sketchy Micro. COMREX is huge. Huge with micro and farm, especially micro, lots of micro. So you really want to make sure that if that's a weak area for you, that you definitely address it. So board prep, I started board prepping from the beginning of the year. And I really, what I did is I read first aid kind of along with our module. So I would basically read the chapter that was applicable to the module we were on and then do CommBank and UWorld questions. Obviously, some modules are shorter than others, and there's a lot of questions, so, you know, there were things that you didn't get to. And what I would do is, after, when you have a longer module, I'd kind of go back and read those topics that I missed. And that way, if I missed a little bit, I can always make it up later. And I did, a rough first pass kind of by January, meaning that I really addressed the module topics in first aid, but not, the main broader topics, biochem and farm, which are at the beginning of the book. Those I kind of saved for the second half of the year. Then from January to 2 months prior, so after January, so around this time, I really stepped up the amount of questions I started doing. Not as many as I did during the 2 months before the exam, but I definitely increased the amount, and I reset my ComBank and I reset my UWorld. UWorld only allows you to reset twice, so if you haven't finished it yet, I recommend waiting till later because it's a good tool to use during the two-month wait. But ComBank allows you to. And I began watching Pathoma from the beginning, more like in the beginning of the day, kind of if there was a topic I was having a difficult time with, I would emphasize that. But I made sure to go through all the videos. And I read Savarese. I had a shelf in LMM, and it was basically as if they were giving us our third year shelf because we don't do a rotation in LMM. So I read all of Savarese. It's a very short read, and they have a lot of questions in the back. So that's a great way to just kind of prepare a little bit of LMM beforehand. And as I mentioned before, I use Sketchy. And then 2 months out. So 2 months out, it's really, again, all about discipline and really setting a firm schedule. I'm not one of those people who's good about making a calendar. I am the type of person, if I do that, I'll be over zealous and I won't be able to follow it. So I more just like followed the same routine every day. I got up in the morning and I ate my breakfast and I sat down and I did 250 questions for that day. And after I was finished with those questions, any topics that I noted that I had a difficult time with, I'd write them in my notebook, and I'd go look them up in First Aid. However, it's very important that, like, by a certain time, you're done. Like, I would wake up from 8 until 4:30, I would study, and at 5 o'clock, I would be finished for the day. It's very easy to burn out at this time, and you don't want that to happen to you because it really can impact you negatively. So it's really, really important to make sure that you allow yourself to have enough time. I started timing my questions about 2 weeks out, just so I understood what it's like to get the feel for the exam, which I think is really important because just because you know the knowledge, you have to be able to synthesize it quickly enough. And I think it's also very important to, you know, there's a question of whether you should take the COMLEX or the USMLE or both. Whatever you're going to do, make sure you decide it early on, because they're two very different exams. And if you plan on taking the USMLE and you plan on taking the COMLEX, you need to study accordingly. You can't, like, plan to only take the COMLEX and then decide 2 weeks before that you're going to change your mind and do the USMLE too, because I have a lot of friends who decided to do that, and it really made things difficult for them. So make sure that whatever you decide to do, you commit to it. Also, before the night of the exam, I definitely recommend taking the night off. You need to kind of relax, and don't ever study the morning of the exam, because you're going to walk in there, you're going to read something, you're going to think you don't remember it and freak out. Don't do that to yourself. Show up, get a good night rest, keep everything, you know, in your mind. Don't bring material with you. You don't need it. And just kind of try and remain calm. And, and I wish you guys, like, the best of luck. And if you have any questions, let us know. I'm going to turn it back over to Terry now.
All right. Thank you, Alyssa. Okay. So, as you can see from all of our panelists, we did use a lot of the same material, but not necessarily, you know, have the same study schedules or the amount of time they used to prep. So, for everybody out there that's listening, hopefully that will encourage you that you could still do very well on the COMLEX, you know, despite your background. And I think another thing that was heartening was Alyssa brought up the MCAT scores, and I did want to mention that I believe it was Carla that I specifically wanted to find somebody to be on our panel that, you know, well, actually all of our panelists, I didn't want anybody that had photographic memories, right? I mean, that's kind of not fair. We can't really do anything about whether we're born with that or not. So none of our panelists have photographic memories, which will be happy to hear. But also, you know, we have panelists that did not do very well or feel they did very well on the MCAT that, you know, are here on the call tonight that are presenting to you because they really, you know, blew away the COMLEX. So that's also should be encouraging to those of you out there listening. So hopefully you're going to take some good things away. But now we're about to go into our question and answer because we have a lot of people on the call tonight and a lot of questions coming in. So we'll try to get to as many of them as we can. A couple of them we have already addressed. So let me go ahead and start with a few of them here. So Macy Hale types in that she already has ComBank and she has a USMLE RX question bank
and that totals about 6,000 questions. So she was curious if our panelists would recommend purchasing UWorld in addition to what she has, or just sticking with, you know, what she has, and if that is okay. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Is there any panelist that we have on board that has any experience with the USMLE RX question bank, or, you know, how strongly do you feel about UWorld?
Yeah, I can answer that if you want to go, Alyssa.
Okay, Alyssa, thank you. Yeah, let them know who's speaking when you come on. Thank you.
Okay, hi, this is Alyssa. I had a lot of friends who used RX. I still believe that UWorld is the best resource. The questions are very difficult, and one of the biggest things on the USMLE specifically is that it really requires you to take information you know and synthesize other answers. It's not just recall of facts. And I think that especially if you plan to take both exams, UWorld really causes you to do that like no other QBank. If there was one QBank anyone should purchase first, it should be UWorld, even though there are tons of other questions on RX and on CompBank. That's just my opinion.
Okay. That's a good answer. Any other panelists want to chime in on that, this particular question? Okay. Yeah, I kind of agree. I'm definitely, you know, just kind of going through it myself and hearing from a lot of the other students on my campus that UWorld really seems to be sort of the gold standard for question banks. So, in fact, I didn't purchase it my first time around, and I wish I had. So there's my two cents as well. Also, I know we kind of touched on it, but just to quickly sort of recap for one of the questions that came in, they were wondering if you could go ahead and, again, reiterate how much time, so just in a very succinct fashion, like how much time did you dedicate for board study at the end of your second year classes? So I guess, you know, just the dedicated time, but also just chime in on how many months or weeks approximately before that. So let's go ahead and start in the order with our panelists that presented. So, you know, Carla, do you want to just, you know, real quickly go there, and then we'll go to Garrett and then Alyssa?
Absolutely. My dedicated board prep time specifically was 8 weeks long. If you saw kind of in the beginning, I dedicated those full 8 weeks to boards. But, you know, I had really started thinking about boards at the beginning of my second year. And then starting in January is really where I just kind of amped up how many, again, I think that's kind of what everyone had mentioned, how many questions I was doing, how much I was reading in my preparation. But before the exams, it was a dedicated 8 weeks.
Okay, perfect. Garrett?
Yeah, so I gave myself 40 days to study, dedicated time for the Thomas. And actually, I had the approach where I was going to take the USMLE first, give myself about a week to cover some OMM basics, and then take the comics after that. So before the 40 weeks as well, like Carla said, I started in January really kind of doing that, spacing out the material over the week of what I wanted to study, some of the blocks that we had covered earlier at the end of first year and earlier in second year. I kind of went over and reviewed them in the months leading up to my 40 days of dedicated study time. So gave myself about 6 months to kind of, you know, get in the zone and everything, and really started covering, start doing UWorld questions probably about January, probably about 30 or 50 a day. And so by the time we got to our dedicated study time, I had time. Actually, it's kind of interesting too, our school provided us each semester with a COMSE exam. So we were just kind of gearing up for that. And I was done with one pass of UWorld by the COMSE exam that we took that last semester of second year.
I had about 2 months to study after my second year classes ended. And basically, I basically spent pretty much every day, with the exception, obviously, like if I had to, you know, have an appointment or do something, but I pretty much geared my every single day towards studying. And by that time, I already had one pass at UWorld. So in terms of question volume, like I would be able to do like 250 questions. A lot of the questions, if you remember the topics, and the more you do questions, the smarter you become, and the more easily you're able to answer them, the faster you go. That's kind of like what it means to build up stamina throughout this whole year. So by the end, when you're doing that many questions, there aren't as many that you need to go back and review anymore. So I basically would spend, you know, every single day of those 2 months kind of doing those questions and then focusing on the topics that I had difficulty with. And like Garrett, I also took my USMLE on Monday, and then I took my Comlex on Thursday, I believe. And the week in between, I reread Sabarese and focused on OMM.
All right, Alyssa, actually, so Blessing, I'm not sure how to say her last name, Nduka, actually had that question that came in too. I'm assuming she means like how long did it take you to answer those 250 questions in the day?
Yeah, so basically by that time, again, it was my second pass at UWorld, and I just began doing Kaplan because I did Kaplan Qbank for the first time during my two-month study period. So I kind of broke up the day. UWorld was a lot faster for me at this point because I actually did UWorld three times. So I would, you know, start out the day with UWorld and, like, basically do, like, an hour or two or three of UWorld and take a lunch break. And then Kaplan I would do after, which was kind of slower. And I really would do questions, again, from 8 in the morning with, like, you know, like a half-hour lunch break. Maybe I'd watch a show and eat. And then until around 4:30 when I would finish. And, you know, then that's kind of how it would work.
What about when you were doing your first pass? Because it looks like she was wondering how you did it during the time you still had coursework.
So during, I did not do 250 questions a day during coursework. That was only during the 2 month wait. It was more that I did the questions along with the module. And if there were questions that I didn't finish at the end of the module, because obviously time is limited and you're studying for school, which again, like Carla said, is very important. You want to do all your classes. I would make that up like during the next module or during like sometimes if I had a week break or if, you know, module was 4 weeks and I wasn't like crazily studying for it yet, I would then make up the missed questions then. But I definitely was not doing that many during
okay.
my schoolwork.
All right. So that answers that. And so we've already answered Anthony Pena's about how long everybody spent for their dedicated board study time after their second year of classes. Let's go ahead and address this question that came in from Ashley Blake. She mentions that nobody really mentioned DIT, which is Doctors in Training. They have the videos, and I know my school, you know, it was mandatory. Like, they purchased those for all of us at Nova Southeastern. And BBC, and how do we feel about that? Actually, I'm not sure if anybody can chime in as far as one of the panelists and help me with the BBC. Do you know what she means by BBC?
Boards Bootcamp.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. So I don't have any experience with that, but did anybody try any of those, and how do you feel about that?
I tried DIT. Yeah, Carla, go ahead.
I actually was just going to say that I didn't use them because I'm cheap, first of all.
That's a good one.
The reason I didn't do them, and you know, Alyssa, you can chime in because you said that you did do it. But my school kind of, they did this presentation for us about, like, how the class before us performed on boards and what were, like, the favorite, I guess, sources to study. And DIT and boards bootcamp were there, and they weren't rated as high amongst people who had done well. So they kind of divided it between people who did well on the Comlex and people who didn't do so well on the Comlex. And for whatever reason, it was interesting to see that, like, the people who had done well on the Comlex did not find DIT useful. And so I didn't think to use it. But that's just, I guess, providing some information that was passed on to me from kind of like a statistical analysis of how a class performed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Alyssa, do you also want to chime in?
Yeah, so I did start using DIT. I tried it. Honestly, I found a lot of it was more time consuming, and I wasn't getting as much out of it as I was from other resources. And again, kind of like what Carla said, you really need to hone in on like two or three resources that you're just really going to repeat over and over. And DIT took a lot of time. So, like, while some of the videos were great, for instance, if you had a difficult time with biochemistry, I used their videos for that. But to go through all of DIT and even Boards Bootcamp, I didn't really use that. But it takes a lot of your time.
Yeah, I'll just throw in my two cents on that, too, because it is very expensive for doctors in training. I wouldn't have normally spent that much money, but it's very time intensive. I believe it's 45 days, so you actually don't, you know, get the book and access to the videos until, you know, like that dedicated study time, and I believe it was 45 days, and it was very hard for me to try to get in my questions while also watching the videos, and so that really is a marathon training. So you have to be super disciplined. I know that for some people it did work. Some students on my campus felt it was, that it really kind of hit all everything. It's not always high yield, meaning, you know, if you really needed a good review of a lot of different subject matter, then, you know, it's definitely good to do. But it's very time intensive. So that is my two cents on DIT. And so if that's something that's, you know, you have less of, then you might want to maybe focus a little bit more on sort of doing the question banks. But again, I also saw, sort of like Carla did, we do the surveys from previous years as well. And even though our school purchases DIT for us, it wasn't necessarily the most highly rated. But they are very high quality videos. And interestingly enough, I wished I could have kept them and watched them at my leisure, you know, after I took boards. And so they were very, very good videos. I just wish they, you know, weren't in that last 45 days, but that's part of their strategy. All right. So that was the question that we answered for Ashley Blake. And let's go ahead and move on to another question now. This is kind of off, but not necessarily, because of course there is, some pharmacology as well on Comlex Level 1. Dixvita Patel was wondering if there's any advice we can give her on preparing for PharM. So I'm assuming the course as well as maybe the PharM portion of the exam. So did anybody find any good resources for that?
I guess I'll start again. I think the most important thing when thinking about PharM is recognizing how they're going to ask you questions regarding PharM. You could spend your whole day memorizing drugs, but what are they going to ask you? They're going to ask you mechanism of action, and they're going to ask you, like, side effects. They want you to know all the side effects, and there's going to be very high-yield specific side effects they want you to know, and they're going to want you to know the mechanism of action. And this is where doing the questions comes in, and getting really good at just recognizing the pattern that, metronidazole, you know, goes along with vomiting if they drink alcohol, you know, something like that. And so it's just doing the questions and recognizing that is how they're going to test you on PharM.
Okay. I think it was a very valid point. All right. So we've got another good question here, and they've all been great questions, guys. So we've got probably 15 more minutes left to answer. So if you have them, you can still type it into the question box. Daria Syed asks, when did you start actually caring about the scores that you got on your UWorld or combat questions that you were doing? Now that it's almost February, she acknowledges that it takes a while to get through the questions. So I'm assuming, people are starting to panic a little bit, thinking, oh, my gosh, it's February, and, you know, my scores aren't so hot. So I don't know if anybody wants to address that question on, you know, when is the time to panic that your scores aren't so well on your question banks?
I think I can go ahead and chime in on that.
All right, thanks, Ben.
As far as panicking about the scores or percentiles on UWorld or CommonBank, I don't think it's never a good time to panic about that. It's, you know, they go to show you, you know, what your progress is and how well you're doing versus everybody else who's taking it or taking those questions. So I don't think when I was looking at those percentages, probably getting in the like 60, 65, 75% area. And I mean, that really doesn't really correlate to what I actually performed on the Comlex or USMLE. So it's just a matter of getting through the questions. And I think, like, once you start getting through the questions and then you're reading the explanations and then you know the material, then you can say, okay, well, that percentage really doesn't mean anything because now I've learned the material that I got things wrong on. And I think that's kind of probably a good viewpoint to have, good perspective to have on it, that, you know, yeah, maybe I've missed like 30-40% of the questions I'm answering, but at least I'm learning from what I've gotten wrong. And then there's also too on the UWorld, at least I can remember, you can go back and select questions that I've missed or questions that I've already had flagged, and go back and review those questions and take those questions over again, like a couple days out or weeks out from when you first originally took them, and just review them again and see how you do on them the next time through.
Great. Thank you for answering that. All right. Patricia Ravitch typed in that she had heard about Board's Boot Camp as a study resource, and if any of us were familiar with it, we kind of brought that up a few questions ago. And it sounds like really, I mean, we know of it, but I don't believe any of the panelists, and I know I didn't take Board's Boot Camp or really talk to many students that have. I believe it's pretty expensive. That's probably one of the reasons why. So not really a whole lot that we can contribute to that resource. So I'm sorry, we can't do better with that question. Daniel Arce wonders if we annotated in the first aid and then read them afterwards. I think this is a good question because I know Carla brought this up in her part of the presentation about just, you know, focusing on doing well at school. And this is something that I wish I had done and that I had been on a call like tonight so that I could have heard these tips and prepared, you know, just doing little things further in advance because I, you know, did not have a first aid and I wasn't following and making my little annotations during the time that we were doing the correlating courses. That really would have helped a lot with recall, I'm sure. So I don't know if there's any of our other panelists that want to chime in on that and how they might have used first aid to annotate with their coursework.
I can speak to that. So it's awesome. I'm a very active learner. So by annotating and highlighting or writing, you are calling that to your mind and you're focusing on that, even if it's just for a second. So like when you're taking a test or looking at a question, if you highlighted it or made a note of it previously, there's a good chance that that's going to come to the forefront of your mind. So I think that, like, it's very important to be active in reading first aid and not just passive, because if you do that, you're really internalizing the material a lot better than if you're just, reading it like you're reading a book. You know, that's kind of what I think.
Okay.
I agree with Alyssa on that. Let me just speak to it a little bit, too. What a couple of my classmates and I did, we actually took our bindings off of our first aid and got them three hole punched and put into a three-ring binder. And then there's some areas where, like, for example, Neuro is kind of missing maybe a couple of diagrams. We can go and take some images out of a book and just put them in there in between the pages of your first aid. And then all the other resources that I use as far as rapid review, pathology, and pathoma, I would have those resources out at the same time while I was covering the subject and just annotate directly from the book that I was reading into first aid. And then once going through that first or two passes, by the time I went through it, I think probably went through first aid probably five or six times. By the sixth time, all my notes were kind of correlating with all my other resources that were in first aid. So that was really helpful. And again, like I was saying, if you're writing things into your first aid, into your book, and then you get to a question on the test or a practice question, whatever, and you write out what's going on and what you think the answers are, what they could or could not be. It kind of helps you out a lot that way, just from my perspective, being a kinesthetic learner.
Mm-hmm. And just to add one more thing, because I won't, like, this is Carla, I won't reiterate everything they said. I absolutely agree with everything that was said. I had my binding taken off of both my PSOMA and my first aid and put into those sections that I had mentioned earlier. My first time through first aid, I actually use little sticky notes to make it into like a matching or like a test myself kind of thing on specific topics that I thought were relatively high yield. so that every other time that I went through it, the answer to the question would be covered, and I would actually have to test myself while reading through first aid. And that kind of made it a little more active instead of just reading and reading and reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are all great tips. Thank you. I think it is obvious from listening to each one of our panelists that, you know, utilizing that first aid well and early is a huge key and tool to do well on the COMLEX. So for those of you that are first years listening in, hopefully you take that to heart and run out and buy your copy of your first aid, because it is hard when you wait to the last minute and, you know, try to just go through it just during the dedicated time. In fact, Costin Rowe, who is on the webinar tonight, had a question that basically says, you know, right now they're trying to go and assign 3 days to each major subject that's covered by first aid, but is finding it difficult to cover everything on the first pass of certain subjects within the allotted 3 days. And so he was wondering how to adjust to taking more time than his, you know, allotted 3 days that he's given himself. So I think, you know, number one is, and unfortunately I'm not sure if you're, you know, first year, it sounds like you're more of a second year kind of in your short-term dedicated study time, but so number one would be hopefully you can do this alongside your coursework, but for those of you that can't and that are second years and the test is looming, I think it's good to answer this question just zoning in on the fact that he's given, or this person has given themselves 3 days to cover each major topic, and that's becoming difficult, and hopefully, you know, he's not getting disheartened. But does any of the panelists want to address that about how you feel about setting, you know, a very strict schedule for something and then you're not achieving that? I mean, how do you adjust or, you know, address that? Especially if you had a, you know, more rigid schedule. I know, Alyssa, you said that you don't. You tend to avoid that because, you know, that's just more your personality. And, you know, that I would agree with that. But, Carla, you seem to have quite a set schedule for yours. So did you have any trouble, you know, adjusting, or what did you do when you kind of got off schedule?
First of all, I was very forgiving of myself. I think that's the first idea. Don't be so hard on yourself. This is hard work. And if you don't make it through the first time, guys, it is not the end of the world. That's kind of the first thing to get in your mind. Second of all, if you guys notice with my strict schedule, that this is the reason why I repeated each section so many times. If I didn't finish it, then that's where I would start back up the next time I was in that section. And then, therefore, by the time I had, even though, like, in my schedule, I had, like, 5 or 6 passes through what I had, I didn't necessarily make those 5 or 6 passes. I might have made 3 or 4 passes, but it was still enough to get me through the repetition and the repetition. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I wanted to get another question here from a new listener, Linda V. She's wondering if there's a recommended time to take the boards. For example, is it better 1 month or maybe 2 months after classes end?
So I can speak to this. So basically, the second you finish school, all of your medical knowledge is like holding a giant cup of water in your hands over the sink and watching it all trickle out slowly. You're going to be this, like, the 2 months after you're done, those 2 months where you're, like, focusing on board study, you're going to have the most knowledge you possibly can. And then after that, you know, when you start clinicals, a lot of the little details, a lot of the little things kind of start to trickle away. My advice is you want to take, like, after school ends, I would give yourself 2 months to study, or a month and a half at least, to study completely, like, undistracted by school or anything else, and then take that test. You do not want to push it off, because the longer you push it off, honestly, the more you forget. Because the knowledge you learn from school is just as important. If you dedicated yourself to studying while in school, that's only going to help you. And the further you get away from that, the little things will start to fall away. And the people I know who've pushed it off to later, like September, most of them have not done well. So I would really, you know, take it sooner rather than later.
Okay, great answer. All right, well, we are nearing the end of our time together. It's 8:56, so we've got about 4 or 5 more minutes. But we're going to go ahead and try to get in maybe another one, possibly two questions, and then we'll have to wrap it up for the evening. We did have one that came in earlier beforehand that probably a lot of people out there have problems with as well. Did any of you have any timing issues, and how did you overcome it? So is there anybody that ever struggled with these, you know, these marathon tests that had problems getting through the timing? And I actually, like Garrett, you mentioned that, you know, your strategy of just focusing on certain parts of the question. So, Garrett, if maybe you want to take this because it sounds like you had some experience with timing.
Yeah, sure. So I think going into tests, just making sure you emulate the test as much as you can, keeping yourself undistracted when you're taking those questions and really trying to put it in a timed mode when you're taking those questions. And even, you know, if you can take, what was mentioned before, an NBME self-assessment exam or a COMSA exam, doing those, you know, 200, 250 questions in a row and trying to give yourself the appropriate amount of time, 1 month away, 2 weeks away from your exam, just to see where you need to work on as far as timing and content and material and everything. But as far as timing for the and answering the questions in the exam, really going through, and I would like to go through and like highlight different things I knew I would come back and look at. But really answering that leading question and looking at the leading question, saying, okay, well, what is it that they really are trying to get out here? And really, if you could answer that question before, I mean, sometimes you could answer the question before even having to read the big block of text. I mean, it's not recommended. I wouldn't recommend doing that on every single question because that's not the way every single question works, but in some cases it was very helpful. So especially I think when you do see those big, huge paragraphs of questions on a test, that would be my number one thing to do. You know, it's definitely a strategy I feel like the item writers try to employ to see how well you do under pressure. So that would be a big flag for me to say, okay, I'm gonna you know, beat the item writer here, and I'm going to read the leading question first. So,
okay, I would agree. I think that is a tactic that they use, right? Because there are quite a few students that struggle with the timing. So understanding that that's a weakness and really addressing that early on and forcing yourself to do those long, you know, full-length practice tests is probably the best way to go. And we got through quite a few of the questions. Unfortunately, we couldn't get through all of them, and they were all great questions. So hopefully we answered enough of them that everybody got some good information to take away from tonight. Again, on behalf of all the panelists and myself and the Student Association of the American College of Osteopathic Family Physicians, we are really, really pleased that you could join us tonight. We've already had a lot of requests come in to do a level two success webinar. So if there's a way to do that, we certainly will try to get that. Probably a little bit too late for this cycle, but you know, we will try to get that resource out there for you as well because we didn't get a lot of time to really address that, unfortunately. So we'll try to do something separate on that in the future. But just so that you know, if you want to go back and review any of this, this webinar was recorded, and you can visit our sort of student website for the ACOFP, which is www.familymedicineexploremore.com. So that's familymedicineexploremore.com, and you can find, you'll be able to find this one soon, but we also have quite a few other recorded webinars that we've done in the past. So, you know, anything from, you know, OB-GYN and family medicine to rural medicine, you'll find there. And, of course, you can always visit our other student website, go under members and students on the acofp.org. But for now, I'm going to go ahead and call this to a close. And if you do have some other questions, I mean, sometimes we are able to answer them after the fact and get them sent out. You can always send that in to us as well by emailing ashleyd@acofp.org. That's Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y-D@acofp.org.
Thank you again, everyone, and hope you have a great night. Bye-bye.